Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Eric.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing fine, but you sound like you have a little bit of a cold.
You want to know what? I do have a little bit of a cold, so secret is out.
Well, are you doing anything to combat it?
Yeah, I'm on that future.
That DS2?
My nose is double stuffed just like my cups.
Oh, well, good luck with that.
Thank you.
Our guest today on A Waste of Time with It's The Real is our friend Joe Budden.
Yeah, we've known him for a very long time.
Yes.
He has a new album coming out called All Love Lost.
October 16th on E1 Records. Shout out to everyone over there.
Yeah, be there. He's got a bunch of features. He's got Jadakiss. He's got Eric Bellinger. He's got Imani.
Yeah.
There's songs by Boy Wanda.
A-Rab Music. Whole bunch of other people. It's a really cool project. We hosted his listening party down at a hookah spot on, I forget where, but on the Lower East Side.
Yeah, one that he had apparently never been to.
Well, but it's a lot of fun.
He still enjoyed it.
It's true. Before we get into this podcast, which is really, really, really a lot of fun because we have a lot of history to go through, we just want to remind everyone that A Waste of Time is available on iTunes and SoundCloud. Please subscribe, rate, and review, and go and tell a friend or two about it, because really, we need to just spread the word.
Yeah.
We need people to hear Jeff's clogged nose during this episode.
It's not during the entire episode, it's just during this intro.
Just during the intro. Shout out to them. Shout out to Joe Budden.
This is a little bit of an exclusive, just for the intro.
Breaking news here on... Anyway, yeah.
Yo, what up? It's Eric, a.k.a. Jersey Fat Stacks, a.k.a. Big Perth Amboy.
Yo, what up? It's Jeff, a.k.a. With the Shits, a.k.a. Diphtheria Massive.
Whoa. Okay. Holy shit. Didn't they hit the on switch? Yo, looking at these two and looking at, like, just how everybody else conducts their fucking podcast, like, we got to get a little more professional, man. We just go in and talk.
Who are you?
Joe.
Oh, okay. This is a waste of time, but this is the real. Joe.
Holy shit. Joe. It's lit. They got synchronized moves and everything.
Yo, you've known this, though.
I've never been a part of the podcast.
Yes, you have. Yes, yeah, we interviewed Joe and Slaughterhouse.
Oh, right. Yeah. You've interviewed me.
Rock the Bells. Yeah.
You've interviewed me multiple times, actually.
Well, no, we've done sketches.
Done videos. I'm not talking about the sketches. You have interviewed me, I think, two times.
Okay. Can we talk about the fact that the first time we met you was... We did a video with Fall Out Boy, right? It was a sketch video in, like, 2008, maybe?
Yeah.
And the whole video was Groundhog Day themed. And we wanted to have, like, a big sort of reveal at the end... Def Jam related, because Fall Out Boy was signed to Def Jam. And we were trying to think of some sort of joke, and the honest truth is that we couldn't get in touch with Jadakiss. and
so we got Joe Budden in the very end.
And you know how we did that, by the way? I hit up SK from Not Right, who was a huge supporter of It's The Real, and he connected us with Joe, because clearly Not Right fucked with Joe Budden.
Yeah, that's interesting, because Jadakiss is pretty accessible.
Well,
his management isn't.
No, they are. They just don't do anything.
Right.
Like, that's the honest.
Yeah, I'd like to think Kiss is one of the more accessible rappers out there.
Well, how long did it take you to get your verse? Because he's on your new album.
No, it took me a million years to
that's
get
That's what
my
I'm
verse.
Saying.
Yeah.
But not because him and I weren't in contact with one another.
Okay, so you can...
He probably just didn't want to do the verse. I mean, but it eventually did get done. And Kiss has always been real supportive of me and my ability, so...
Yeah. Well, how long... When's the first time you met him?
Met?
Yeah.
Oh, ages ago.
Like...
Ages ago.
Yeah, but how was
it,
though?
How old are you?
35.
No, kidding. But how did you
I know people think I'm older. I do. I mean, I am aware that people think I'm older because I've been in the game for a really long time.
Also, you date, like, very young women, so...
No, I want to fight that. I want to fight that. Nope, we're going to change the narrative. I'm not going to let you guys do that to me. I've dated about two very young women.
Like, very young meaning high school?
21, 22. Well, 21, 22 is like high school to me, so...
All right.
Okay, wait. I do want to make a point. Drake is the best A&R in music today.
Okay.
Joe Budden is the best A&R of women in hip-hop today.
That's true. You put on women, and you've really
made
succeed.
Yeah.
Is like Drake Sycamore, the best A&R?
Oh, no. Don't make this like a Meek Mill situation where, like, somebody listens to a podcast.
No, Drake is a great friend of mine.
No, I
know.
We'll get into that.
And he is very... clear on my support of him, but I mean, I just never thought of that. So when you said
who comes to mind?
We got Party. He brought Party out.
He brought
The Weeknd out.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You know what I will? You know what I will say? He did introduce a sound, like
an OVO sound, even.
Yeah, that sound is very prevalent in a lot of
artists' music that have absolutely nothing to do with him. Like, I listen to Bryson Tiller's album, and I hear that sound. Like, I've heard that sound. I've heard Beyonce do that sound. I've heard Alicia Keys do that sound. I've heard Jay on that sound. I've heard that sound, like, since he introduced it. So I don't know if I would call that an A&R, but...
But, I mean, him jumping on, like, all these, like, different sort of disparate artists who have, like, one song. Like, they'll be, like, nobodies, and then suddenly he'll jump on and he'll remix it, and then suddenly it's just, like,
well, they'll be nobodies to us. Like when Drake did the Versace verse.
Sure. Right.
I had no idea who Migos was, but in Atlanta...
Right.
People knew who they were.
But Ram Riddles or whatever, that kid from Toronto who has that song, like, Sweeter Man.
Okay.
Drake jumps on that, suddenly that's a thing.
Oh, of course.
You know, like, there's all these people...
I don't think I like Drake's version of that song.
Well, I don't either, but I mean, but that doesn't mean that he didn't make it big for a lot of people. And people like...
Well, Drake's likeness, I mean, it's the hottest rapper in the game. Mm. And one of the better rappers in the game. So his likeness, it hops on anything, it's going to make it 10 times bigger and better.
All right, but we're getting away from the thread of this this great joke, which is
I do that a lot, sorry.
You, like Sycamore, can make girls famous. We've lost Joe.
Joe, don't die on the podcast. Or I don't know, maybe that'll make it go viral.
Hopefully.
Joe, do you know our brother Dan, who just walked in?
No, but he looks like he would be you guys' brother. So
Dan, that's Rory. This is Joe.
Dan, how you doing? Joe, pleasure to meet you, man. So women.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I debate that too. Well, I debate everything, but outside of that. Yeah, I don't know about that. I've helped two women do better than they did when I met them.
Just real quick, I should let the listeners know that Jeff and I are both dressed up in sweatsuits in your honor. Rockaway.
Oh, are you guys?
Yeah. And we
have that's pretty cute.
And we have one for you right in front of you. Real
for me.
Rockaway. Yes. Yeah.
Oh, go me. A fucking Rockaway sweatsuit. Yeah, you guys probably do only know me to be in sweatsuits.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know how I feel about you being, like, more tailored and adult.
I get dressed sometimes. I do.
Well, you did for your listening party. That was pretty
fancy.
You
looked rather cosmopolitan.
Well, when I have to be seen as of late, I try to get dressed. I just don't like to be seen very much. So.
Yeah, I think you've done more for the sweatsuit than Nelly.
Nelly,
the rapper. Yeah.
No, I'm sweat very aware of Nelly. That's probably it. Okay, I'd have to think long and hard if there are anybody else.
All right, so your listening party, there was a chance that it was going to be streamed by Tidal. And Eric and I, there was a
there
chance.
There was. Oh, yeah, wait, talk to your label.
Wait, there's a joke coming here.
No, there is no joke.
Oh, you're serious?
Yeah, your record label, E1, was like, hey, so we're trying to get this streaming through Tidal.
Okay.
Do
they know me?
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I was wondering, what was your status with Jay these days?
I would know. I would assume that everything is fine. I mean, I assume I'm fine with everyone that I don't have an issue with,
mm-hmm.
because I don't have an issue with these people.
Sure.
I would have to be made aware. But to my knowledge, him and I are fine.
Okay. And I mean, clearly everyone knows what happened years ago in terms of, like, him.
I don't know if everyone knows.
Okay. Well,
do you want to talk about it?
I mean, not really. I don't care. I mean, I'm down to talk about anything.
But here's something. Okay. So there was some tension for maybe it was one sided, maybe it was two sided. There was some thought that there were some words that maybe things weren't so cool between you two, especially
four score and 7 years ago
when he was the president of Def Jam and you were signed to Def Jam. Mm-hmm. And yeah, over the years, I think it's sort of like quieted down. Certainly, like, it's not a go-to joke for us anymore, obviously. But
what a go-to joke it was.
I don't know. If I were at a different level of success, maybe it wouldn't be quieted down. I mean, I'm not certain. There's no reason for that to be alive and well. That was so long ago,
right.
During the Def Jam days. And I mean, I had a problem with a lot of people in my 20s and on the Def Jam days, but I'm not in that space anymore.
Well, sure, right. So that, I think that's part of the reason why it's not a big thing anymore.
Definitely, definitely.
But something I thought about 10 minutes before you showed up, how close did you come to sign to Rockefeller?
We were pretty close. I was down with Rockefeller for about a week and a half.
Because, can I just play something that I found and I was just like, oh, right.
Well, it's your podcast. You can play anything you want.
Do you remember this?
No. This is not real.
Sure is.
No, this was somebody.
I'm not sure if it's too early, but fuck it. I'm going to do it anyway. Joe Buttons is officially a Bible fella. Holla back. Get familiar with us. Who you gonna tell,
boy? Caked up, spin it well, boy. I didn't do this verse for this beat.
But did you do it for Clinton Sparks?
I did that verse for Clinton Sparks.
So he took it and put it on whatever beat
he wanted.
Yeah,
but that's Clinton Sparks' thing.
Yeah.
Like he takes, you do a verse for him, he takes it and puts it wherever. But I was.
But that was really Dame Dash.
Yeah, but that was around the time of their dissension of Jay and Dame. So left me in a funny predicament because I was looking to mess with Rockefeller at the time, but they were breaking up and it was rumored that Jay was going to be the head of Def Jam.
Yeah.
And I was on Def Jam. So, I mean, it just made for a really sticky situation. So it really didn't work out.
But did you feel like you would have fit in? You had your own lane. You would have been.
No, I don't think I fit in with any like crew.
Yeah.
No, I'm too much of a weirdo.
How did it go down with Desert Storm?
Oh, well, that's entirely different. Clue and company, they're largely responsible for my everything, for my getting a record deal, for my being on mixtapes, for my being on the radio, they're largely responsible for all of that. And that wasn't like a click thing. Like every time you saw me, you didn't have to see Fab and
right.
Paul Kane, like, and Stack Bundles. Like it was me and On Top, and then it was Clue and Fab and Paul Kane with Desert Storm, and we were all like extended family of one another.
Did you see? I think Clue put it up like a couple weeks ago, like a Throwback Thursday.
A picture, yeah.
I think that was
Envy that put that up.
Oh, maybe it was Envy.
Yeah, I think
it was pretty
Envy.
Awesome. Like in retrospect.
Yeah, I hated my sideburns at the time. It looked really stupid back then. It's difficult to look at pictures of yourself from 10 years ago and be like, what the fuck was I doing back then? But I guess.
But so little has changed about you. It's just the beard and...
No, a lot has changed. A lot has changed. I wouldn't say so little.
Do you have
changed.
The same barbers back then?
No. No. I probably... No way. Not at all. We wouldn't be doing that skinny bullshit that was going on back then. But I mean, that was cool back then. It was cool back then for the time. Today, nah, I don't need Zorro mustache. I'm cool on that.
One of the things that we've known you forever.
Yeah.
And yet we've never been invited to your house in New Jersey for anything other than shooting sketches.
Right.
We would love to be invited over, not for the pool nights.
Nope.
But for Monopoly nights?
Board game nights.
Do you guys play Monopoly?
Do we play Monopoly?
Does anyone play Monopoly? Yeah.
Plenty of people don't play Monopoly.
Really?
Yeah.
It's like the most popular board game.
Well, what I mean is people know the rules to Monopoly, but they aren't good at Monopoly.
Oh, man.
Okay, wait.
I'm really, really good, especially at the Monopoly we play, which is the Mega edition of Monopoly, which is to me is the best one.
What makes it Mega?
Well, different rules. There's an extra property.
Okay.
Where there was two properties, there's three. Where there was three, there's four.
That is Mega.
Yeah. There's skyscrapers now.
Okay.
You can advance past the hotel level and get skyscrapers. I mean, it's different rules.
See, I thought it was all in Spanish, like La Mega 97.9 or something like that. No.
See?
I don't know.
There's an extra die.
Mm-hmm.
So,
really?
I mean, yeah, it's a much faster game. Yeah, it's a much, much better game.
Well, let's just go through some of the people. How is Mike Kaiser at Monopoly?
Mike Kaiser's pretty good at Monopoly, actually.
At Mega Monopoly, yeah.
No, we didn't play Mega Monopoly. That's what I play with my personal friends.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We played the regular. They had some rich people version of Monopoly that was just.
Really?
Some,
they bring their own board?
Yeah, they got their own board.
Oh, is it
their
like
own
wood?
Rules.
And it's
yeah,
got
wood.
Like,
yeah, that one.
Really?
That one. Yeah, and they play for real money.
How's.
Real money? How much money is on the table?
I think every man is $1,000.
Wow.
$1,000 buy-in for regular Monopoly.
Yeah.
Sorry, wood Monopoly.
How is Irv Gotti at Monopoly?
Really good, too.
How is Angie Martinez?
Great. Angie is one of the better Monopoly players.
Does Angie collect all the money at the end of the night? Like, she's the big winner.
Angie's won her share of games. Angie's highly intelligent. So
no,
I mean,
sure.
Who's a good cheater at Monopoly?
Me. Me, back in the day. I don't choose to live my life that way anymore.
No, you've changed.
Yeah, that's what I mean. A lot is different.
Yeah.
A lot is different. Different barber.
Yeah.
Everything is different. Oh, look at Gabby calling me. Pardon me. Yes, Gabby. I'm doing a podcast right now, so I can't currently speak to you.
But it's the real.
I will. Bye. All right. Yeah.
Wait, ask Gabby about Tidal.
I hung up on Gabby.
Does it bother you?
Nothing bothers me, but ask the question anyway.
Does it bother you when people say Joe Buttons?
No.
Why not? It bothers me so much. It just annoys the shit out of me.
Same with like Meek Mills and 50 Cent.
Yeah.
No, I feel like me and Meek are the only people that happens to constantly.
Your name is Joe Budden. There's no S on the end.
Yeah, but I feel like Buttons just may be easier for people to enunciate.
That doesn't seem true. No. But that's a very good
Well, there would have to be a reason that people continue to call me that. I'm just going to go with that. I mean, I don't have to know.
Even people, it's funny. DJ Envy is one of those people who still calls you Joe Buttons on air.
See my point?
That's just crazy, though. He's known
and me. He knows that that's not my name, and he's known me since my inception. I don't really get it.
How about with the time?
Yeah, when you put out an album and they put 3 D's in Joe Budden.
Yeah, that was really bad.
That was really bad.
That was really,
really
bad.
Amalgam? Yeah. Amalgam Digital?
Yeah, that was horrible.
That was really bad.
We deaded that situation quickly.
So it doesn't bother you when people say your name?
Not very much bothers me, to be perfectly honest. And that wouldn't bother me. I mean, I understand people and their quips and quarrels. Like, I get it.
But is that why, like, you know, why you might get into fights with different people? Because nothing bothers you and it bothers them? Like, I feel like you'd be no fun to argue against.
Which is funny. I love arguing. Arguing is
But it's
great.
Like a very quiet argument. It's like the most like calm.
Yeah, I mean,
you're like the Ben Carson of arguments.
I don't take anything personal. Like it's healthy. Arguing is healthy. It works the brain.
Sure.
Good for brain power.
You're just sparring.
Yeah.
Is it your favorite?
Tell these people.
It's your favorite sport.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Blade sharpens blade. And
yeah, arguing is really, really fun. I mean, if you have a worthy opponent. Can't just argue with anybody.
Who is the best opponent you've had in arguing?
Well, I'm arrogant, so I'm going to say no one. No one is a worthy opponent.
Can you tell us your best Lior story?
Lior was great. Here's a good Lior story. I was on Def Jam, and I put Focus out, and I was dead broke, and I didn't understand how rappers made money at all.
How would you think?
Well, I was 21 years old, so I wouldn't know.
Okay.
I mean, to me, growing up, you know, you just rap and money comes some type of way because that's how the rappers make a team.
Sure.
So I went to Leo's office and I said, listen, I'm dead broke. I've got a bunch of music. My album's not coming out till this time. How exactly do rappers make money? And then he had a long conversation with me about publishing and how it works. So that was pretty funny. It was a pretty funny conversation.
Did you have a lawyer?
At the time? Yeah.
Yeah. And they didn't give you any sort of heads up on...
What is it? Was this a joke? Do they ever? No. They didn't give me a heads up. I mean, it was so much money being tossed around back then.
Yeah.
In different times today. But sure. Back then, you know, we kind of, well, I was pretty naive, but I think a lot of other people took for granted how much money was spent with record labels and...
Including give you a heads up.
And new artists. No, again, Clue was like extended family.
Right.
So he wasn't in my personal business that way. And then I had a business accountant. I had a business accountant who ended up robbing half of the industry. So
that's fun.
He made money.
Yeah. Yeah.
You should have asked him.
Or you
her.
Should, yeah.
You should have asked her. Oh, wow.
Her. Yeah. Yeah. So I was like, I was broke. Then I got a bunch of money. And then I was broke again. Like, it was a bunch of ups and downs earlier in my career.
Goddamn. Who had the Focus beat before you?
Oh, Sharifa.
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 Sharifa. Sharifa. Shout out to Sharifa. Sharifa was a female artist signed to DTP at the time.
Yeah.
And she had a song. I don't remember what the name of the song
like,
was.
Like, I Need a Boss, right? With Ludacris?
But that was later.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember what the name of the song that Focus was supposed to be for, but Dub B was working on, Dub B, my producer at the time, was working on a remix for her song that was getting a lot of airplay, and she didn't take it.
She chose not to take that Focus beat.
Yeah, she didn't take it.
So you got that from him?
Yeah. Yeah, I said, shit, those drums are amazing. So,
yeah.
I mean, I rapped on it, we put on a Clue tape, and it kind of caught fire from Clue.
Yeah.
And it was like, well, shit, we didn't plan for this, so we should probably go back and put a hook on here. So, and we did that. That was back in the day when I was... Again, a lot of naivete, like, just, what's a hook? And what's a hook? Where does it go? Why does it go there? What's the point? Like, you know.
Hooks are where you make money in rap.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Yeah.
Did you take other meetings besides Def Jam? Were there any other meetings to take?
No, not really.
It was just like, you just fed through
Yeah.
Clue situation.
Well, I was in direct contact with Kevin Lowes through Skane. Mm-hmm. I knew who Kevin Lowes was, and Def Jam was still Def Jam at the time. Not like it is now, like Def Jam.
This was Def Jam.
D-E-A-F. Yeah. It was still Def, like D-E-J. I mean, D-E-F Jam. Yeah. So I knew who Kevin was, so it was really nothing to discuss. That was like God working. That's where we want it to be. That's where all the rappers want it to be.
Sure.
Right.
And in total, you spent how much time there?
On the label?
On the label.
I got signed to Def Jam in 2001. My album came out in 2003. I was completely done in 2006, contractually.
And did you seriously consider re-signing to Def Jam in like 2000?
I've never seriously reconsidered signing.
Not even when Joey IE was the president?
No.
Like you and us had a conversation back then. You were like, I'm talking to him.
Ran into you at the finally famous Big Sean listening party at the Standard, right?
Yeah, and we were like, why are you here?
Well, Joey is a dear. Is one of my dear good people in this music business.
Yes.
Love him. Shout out to Joey
IE.
And he did have that brief stint at Def Jam, and he was inviting me to shit, and as a courtesy, you want to go. And while it may be a passing thought, like, all right, if he's really going to get right the ship over here, then cool, but that didn't turn out very well.
I mean, I think he had a pretty strong year.
They had one good year.
Yeah.
They had one really good year, but then I know he eventually left.
He did?
Yeah.
Yes. And now he's over at Interscope.
In Los Angeles.
And he's doing great.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's doing real good.
He's a father now.
He is.
Joey's great, man. Joey's great. He's got a great ear.
So you never seriously considered signing to Def Jam again?
No.
What are the positives of being with an indie like E1 right now for you? Can you drop an album whenever you want?
Yeah.
Is that specific to you, or can any artist on E1 do that?
Well, I mean, I can't speak for anybody else.
But like when your project's ready, you just put it out. You don't have to answer to Alan Grunblatt. You don't have to answer to like Gabby, or you don't have to answer.
Well, you're in these are your contemporaries. These are your business partners. So answer to, I wouldn't say that, but because I'm a profitable artist for them, it wouldn't really be a dispute.
Sure.
They don't have many hip hop acts over there.
Well, so Eric and I took a meeting over there because, as you know, we are burgeoning rappers. And we walked in there, and Alan Grunblatt, the leader of the company, thought that we were working with
Nelly.
Why do you think that?
At the time.
Were you working with Nelly?
We were not.
No. Oh, okay. Must have been a sweatsuit. Must have been a sweatsuit.
No, we had a representation that had ties to Nelly, and I think he wasn't quite sure what the meeting we were doing was.
Yeah. And so, like, the poor, like, executive assistant comes out to get us, and she's like, hey, I'm looking for Nelly? And we're like, oh, no, you're getting two white guys.
Mm. Yeah, this is not...
Confused with Nelly.
You've been working with Just Blaze on this Slaughterhouse project for a couple years now.
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference between working with Just now and Just back when you were recording for your first album?
Well, Just wasn't executive producing my first album, so the capacity is different. He's executive producing the new Slaughterhouse album.
Do you have to answer to him?
I don't have to answer to anybody. But he is much more hands-on in that role, in that capacity, of course. On my first album, he was just my favorite producer, so he did, what, three joints on my first album? We had a hit together. So.
Yeah, did he submit those, or did you ask him for those?
No, I was with him. This is when Def Jam had dropped the ball on Focus, and then Skane came to me and he was like, listen, they dropped the ball, but they don't really care. You're going to get one more shot to come up with a hit. If not, they're going to drop you. So who do you want to go in with?
Wow.
And I said, well, all right, Just Blaze. And I went in with Just.
At Baseline?
No, this was at, I want to say that was Right Tracks.
Okay.
Right Tracks, not Quad. Yeah, it was Right Tracks.
Okay.
And yeah, I mean, the rest is history.
Man. And how did you get Busta on?
I didn't.
Oh.
Fucking Busta, man. I think we were trying to come up with a remix for Pump It Up, which is how that whole Jay shit started, because we went to Jay's studio. We went to Baseline,
mm-hmm.
and we spoke to him. And then we were laughing. He's like, he's not doing that shit. So let's kind of figure out somebody that we can get. And I think we spoke to, We spoke to Busta about Fire. I came to Just yep. Blaze with the idea of Fire, and we spoke to Busta about him, and Busta sent back Fire and Pump It Up. So somewhere there's a Busta Rhymes version of Pump It Up. And yeah. And he sent me a wild-ass invoice.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Good old Bus. Shout out to Bus, man.
Busta knows how to make money in this industry.
Better fucking believe it.
Yeah.
He's only been in this industry my entire life.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that says something. Bus is great, man.
Did you shoot a video for Fire?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you can YouTube it.
Okay, I will.
So much for fucking podcasters doing some research.
Please. Yeah, you guys don't even have a name for your podcast.
Yes, we do.
I'll name this podcast later.
What do you know? Just that fast, you figured out the name. That is the name of the podcast.
But the question is, when will you ever give it an actual name? And that
is
name?
The actual no, name.
Yeah, but it's
I know it's like a very meta joke. I'm just wondering if like at the very like if you guys like in like 5 years, you guys are like, all right, time to wrap it up. And then you actually name it. You're like, oh, you want to know what? It was Cheers
corny,
the entire time.
How corny is that? Now, what's the name of this podcast?
It's a waste of time.
Yeah, you didn't do your research.
All right, you're right. I didn't. But what is the name of this podcast?
A Waste of Time with It's the Real.
Yeah, we know how to.
Oh, yeah, I did know that. Because I saw that and I said, okay, I like it. I like it. I don't like a lot of podcast names. I don't. Because they're real fucking cheesy and corny.
Do you check the podcast like rankings each week?
No. Because I'm not a loser like the rest of you fucking podcasters. What type of... Yo, I see that happening. Like when all the podcasts... Like Elliot Wilson. That's my guy.
Yeah.
But, and I told him this. I said, you're fucking posting a picture of your... Yo, we number three. Right? And I'm like, who gives a fuck, my nigga? Like, just fucking podcasts.
Nah, I don't care about that shit. Know, street battles.
Clearly.
Wait. Okay, so when you went over to Peter's apartment, like right across the street, and you sat down and discussed actually doing a podcast, did you?
Well, no, I sat down and watched How to Get Away with Murder.
Okay.
And then when that went off, then we discussed, I was very, I didn't know anything about a podcast. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know
nothing
the audience.
Nothing?
I didn't know anything about a
it
podcast.
It never, like,
you and Meek Mill have never, that in common.
That's yeah. pretty funny. Yeah, I didn't know very much. I'll say that.
Okay.
Meek Mill, that's
no
a bit
No one told
different.
You about, like, Serial, the podcast Serial, Serial?
No.
No one told you about, like, Mark Maron's podcast or anything like that?
All right, let me say this one more time. I didn't know anything.
Nothing.
No, I didn't.
Okay.
I didn't
wait,
hear about.
List like 150 more.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Just basically. Go right down the list. Yeah.
Yeah. I. You know. I'm. You know. Sometimes as rappers, we're in a bubble.
Yes,
so,
but you're very internet savvy.
Yeah, but I myself personally, I don't listen to podcasts, or I didn't
right.
anyway.
No, no,
right.
no. But you never know when, like, maybe like a girl you're seeing is just like, "Yo, did you listen to Serial?" That's all I've been listening to.
Yeah, do you listen to...
That implies that girls I see are well-informed about things.
Do you
or they listen to that?
Yeah, basically, duh.
Do you hook up with bookish white women from Brooklyn Heights?
No, I do not.
Listen to Serial every week?
Okay, so when you decided to do it, how did Peter sell you on it?
Well, I wanted to do it, period. It wasn't he sold me on it.
Okay.
I wanted to do one.
But so you knew what Wine Epstein was? Cause you
yeah,
done,
yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
As far as that goes, that
well, I mean,
it.
I know I did radio in 2004.
Yeah, right. And I want to get to that.
I had a really good time doing it.
Right.
And I enjoyed it. I enjoyed just shooting the shit, talking, and I always embrace a new platform to speak to fans. Always.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
Joe Budden TV.
Yeah, yeah. Or any
Snapchat.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
DMs.
No, not Snapchat. Not Snapchat. Not Snapchat. Not Snapchat. No, no, no. I hate Snapchat. But yeah, I always embrace that. So. When I went to Peter's house, I was doing a podcast.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I was doing it.
Yeah.
It
you
was
just didn't want to name it.
I didn't think of a name at that time. And we have a name, by the way. But
a waste of time.
Peter wanted to start this whole conglomerate yep. of this umbrella of
a network
under
or
podcasters.
An empire.
Yeah, a podcast empire where, you know, and he fucking stroked my dick a little bit. Yo, you'll be great. You'll be amazing. And then I'll make 80% of the money that I pay. All this
oh
fuck shit.
Oh my God,
shit.
It was the Lior pitch.
Yeah. It was that. I said, we'll see how it goes. And then I did the first few podcasts, and they were really successful. They were really good.
Yeah.
They were fun.
Yeah. Well, okay.
And then I learned that Peter didn't do shit at all, and I disassociated him from my podcast.
Can we go back to the Hot 97 stuff?
Oh, shout out to Peter. I was just listening to him and fighting with him on the text, because I like him much better on ESPN than I like him talking about hip-hop.
Wait,
do.
What don't you like about him talking about hip-hop?
He's very smug. He's very arrogant. He's
yes,
very...
Yes, that is Peter.
He's very...
You sound like John Caramanica from the Times.
He sounds very entitled. He speaks down to listeners in hip hop. He can come off that way. In sports, maybe because it's not his primary area, doesn't come off that way at all.
Was he on Real Sports?
No, he's on ESPN with Michael K.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I just meant because he represents real sports and real hip hop and real. Yeah.
Yeah, no, he's on with Michael K. and Don LaGreca, they're great in that field, but I'm not the biggest fans of them.
But let's just be honest here. Did you grow up a Mike and the Mad Dog fan?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So aren't you territorial? Like, you're going to listen to the fan before you listen to ESPN Radio? You don't like Mike and Mike in the Morning, do you?
Or Boomer and Carton?
Well, I don't, yeah.
Well, first, let's be very... You don't like Mike and Mike in the Morning?
No.
Tell me why.
They're corny.
Uh-oh. All right, you got Mike Greenberg fucked up.
Yeah.
Mike Greenberg is one of the best radio people that I have heard.
You mean from as a professional?
Yes.
Yeah, sure. He's a good radio guy.
No, he's not good. He's not good.
He's a great radio guy?
He's one of the best radio people that I myself have physically heard.
But you're not from New York. Maybe that's why.
I am from New York.
Just like the Giants are from New York, right?
Yeah.
Well, the Giants are from New York.
They're from New Jersey. Just like you're from New Jersey.
Whatever. I'm not that invested.
Right. Is Mike Greenberg better than Chris Russo or Mike Francesa?
Yeah.
No.
I'm going to say yeah.
Why do you say
yeah? Wait. When you said that you're really good at arguing, this is the worst argument. One says yes and one says no, and then you guys repeat.
No, it's just the way that, I mean, it would be, it's not tangible stuff that I could fucking say, but coming from the small radio background that I do come from,
yep,
and having traveled the entire country and universe, yep, listening to people on the radio, the way that he conducts his show, that just as a lead mic,
yep,
he's just one of the best that I have heard. Which is why he's on that morning drive, which is why he gets the ratings that he gets, which is why he's paid the way that he's paid, which is very handsomely for the people that do not know.
You can make money in radio broadcasting. You cannot make money in music.
Yeah, him, Stephen A. I mean, even Michael K., even though I disagree with everything that he says. Yep. Fucking Bill Simmons was amazing.
He's back.
I'm very happy about that. Yep. Who else did I really love? Damn, my guy that they fucking kicked off.
Which one?
Star and Buckwild.
No, I'm still on ESPN. Came on at 1 o'clock. My guy, who
Mike
I
Lupica?
Love. No.
He was on at one.
No, he was not.
Yes, he was. He was on for a little bit.
Mike Lupica was. No, he would. Oh, then maybe I'm 10. You're right. Mike Lupica is on at one.
Well, 10 a.m. He just got fired, too.
Colin Cowherd.
Oh, Colin Cowherd?
Colin Cowherd.
He's on Fox.
Yeah,
now.
Fox. Yeah, now. Yeah. Yeah, because they
liked
fucking
him, really?
Got rid of me. He was amazing. I like highly intelligent people. He was a very highly intelligent person who articulated himself very well. I disagreed with every single thing that he said.
But you still listened.
And I enjoyed it.
Okay, so that's the mark of somebody who's really
and
good.
I enjoyed it.
Okay.
You know who I hate? Highly questionable. That's it. I don't want to talk about it. I just want to say I hate highly questionable.
Not the best show.
Do you have to take terrible interviews like in the middle of the country on, like, morning radio shows where they do, like, a lot of voices?
I
don't feel like you fit in that box, though.
I was about to say, meet the Joe Budden, the person, and that's probably why a lot of people can't stand me. I don't do well in those environments. I just don't. I don't do well when I don't like some shit. It's not good.
Okay, let's get back to Hot 97 for a second. 2004.
When were we on Hot 97? Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Back in 2004, we were talking about it.
See, Mike Greenberg would have been brought this back.
Well, we're not radio personalities. It's a podcast, just like you.
Podcast is the new radio, by the way.
What's that? The new radio?
Yep.
Sure. You sound like Meek Mill.
I will never sound like Meek Mill, by the way.
Wait, just yell it.
So the so Miss Jones leaves Hot 97, and you...
I mean, it wasn't her by her or accord.
I know.
But,
she was asked to leave forcibly.
You sound like you're on her team.
She was forced to choose to leave.
Right.
You were one of the options who was brought in. Like, Sway came on for a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
You were up there. I forget who else. And I know that Miss Info started on Hot 97 at that point, right?
Mm-hmm.
She was working
before then, but yeah.
No, I think it was... she might have been on with Miss Jones. You were great on Hot 97. You were entertaining. You were fun.
I was great on the air.
You were... Yeah, okay. So that's what I want to get to. what were the reasons why you didn't last very long there? Was it your choosing?
No. No. At the time, Kevin Lowes thought that it was overexposure. He thought that why would people buy Joe Budden album
if they get him every morning?
When they can hear him every morning on the radio.
Did you know that those were a different thing? Were you rapping during the morning show?
No, I was not. But, you know, at the time when Kevin Lyle says that, someone who knew way more about the music industry than I did, I'm his investment.
Right.
You know, I listen and I got off.
Man. Did that help get...
And then I was really mad because then he left.
Yeah.
And then he left.
And went to Warner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking fuck of a fuck.
Did that get spins up on the radio? Like your radio spins?
No. No. They were two totally separate entities.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't have carte blanche where I could just play Joe Budden records for 4 hours straight. No, it wasn't like that.
Oh, my God.
Mood but I had a lot radio. Of fun. I had a lot of fun up there, man. And that, you know what? That was the last time that I've ever been nervous.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that was the last time I had fun.
No. That was the last time that I've ever been nervous. Is the night before I had to do the morning show for the very first time.
Why was that?
It was new. It was a new field. Like, you know, as a rapper, you know, I perform in front of people. I fucking, like, I just don't get nervous. I'm in my comfort zone rapping. That was me in a new capacity doing something I had never done before. And I was nervous the night before. So, I mean, I prayed on it, and it went great. So, like, now I'm in acting classes, and...
Oh,
you know, I take acting classes now because that's ultimately something that I want to do.
That's cool. You already did that on VH1 during Love and Hip Hop.
No, I wasn't acting, but some people, I'm sure were. I mean, serious acting. Isn't that the time for you guys? A little shenanigans.
Yeah, you're trying to plug your new direction. Sorry.
No, not even. But I was telling a friend of mine recently that, you know, I forgot what it feels like to do something new because I've just been rapping for so long. So I'm enjoying acting classes. I'm enjoying character development. I'm enjoying this new arena. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a lot of fun. That's scripts and
where
reading.
Where are you taking acting classes?
Not telling a podcast.
Is it UCB? Are you in UCB 101?
No.
201?
So Kevin Lyles didn't like you on the radio. What would Kevin Lyles have thought of you doing VH1 stuff?
Well, again, it was
a different time.
Of course. In 2004, all of this sounds like utter bullshit and very foreign today.
Of course.
But in 2004, you know, there was no reality fucking TV outside of what? The real world?
Sure, yeah.
Like, so back then, I'm sure you would have had the same mindset.
Do you still talk to Kevin?
When I see him.
Mm. He doesn't come over for Monopoly night.
No. No, our objectives aren't the same, and I'm no longer his investment.
Oh, I thought you meant like in Monopoly.
That's what I thought too.
Are you guys going to go for the wheelbarrow or the top hat?
Monopoly is not part of his objective.
What is your game piece?
The cannon.
Okay. Any reason?
Because I fucking shoot shit up when I come through.
I don't know. It feels like overcompensation.
Holla at a real nigga. No, I used to be the thimble. I used to be the thimble for years and years and years. I was a thimble, and then I went on like a fucking somebody I consistently play with went on like a 7-game win streak, and I was like, nah.
With the cannon?
No.
Oh.
I was like, fuck the thimble.
Yo, who's the last person to take a lot of money from you in a board game?
A lot? I mean, well, that's just part of Monopoly.
No, oh, all right. So you figure you're just gonna get it back at some point?
Yeah.
All right. Are you
Monopoly is about the exchanging of currency.
Okay.
Yes, but fake currency.
Do you?
Yeah, sometimes.
Do you go to the well, first of all, are you ever the banker?
No.
They won't let me be the banker. I would never trust.
Yeah, they won't let me be. They won't even let me sit by the bank. I got to run my pockets before the game starts, and they got to go check the bathroom to make sure I don't have money hidden in there. Like, yeah, no. I used to cheat.
And it's your home court, too. You're literally at home.
Well, no, we play Monopoly in a club. We play Monopoly in a hookah lounge. We play Monopoly anywhere.
What?
Do you listen to yourself? play Monopoly in the club?
Yeah.
You have your car outside right now. Do you have your board in there?
No.
Do you travel with it?
No.
Okay.
Do you have the Monopoly travel version?
No.
It's got to be the wood.
No, it's the wood. We put the mega in the trunk when it's time to play. So sometimes that
it's
is
a
more,
whole different connotation of like, yo, I'm going to go to the trunk right now.
Yeah. And get my Monopoly board.
We have done that and seen absolutely no problem with it at all. Actually, last time that Rory played with us in the Hook Lounge, I fucking kicked his ass.
I don't know if I can even like make fun of you for bringing Monopoly to the club, because we brought Scrabble to Max B's apartment.
We did.
Yeah.
Losers.
No, it was for a sketch.
It was for a video.
Yeah.
Ron Artest was supposed to be there.
But he wasn't.
No, he didn't show up. But Mr. Fab did, and the business showed up. It was a very strange night.
It was a very strange night.
That all sounds really strange.
It was very strange.
I took Scrabble to Max B's house. And
because we made... we were playing by street rules, and all of his rules and Scrabble.
Yeah.
Street rules apply. And
Like street rules and Scrabble is so much crazier than whatever you do in Monopoly.
Mega Monopoly,
yeah. Definitely is. But okay,
hiding money in the bathroom
like a real nigga. By the way, Mike Greenberg would have been plugged my album by now.
Wait, you have an album coming out?
I'm just pointing that out to you, fine fellows.
All of Lost, that's a horrible segue, so I'll do it myself.
All of Lost, October 16th, which is soon. Yo, it should leak soon.
I don't know if...
Shout out to genius.com, where you can check out exclusive content.
That's right, with Joe Budden talking to Rob Markman about all of his lyrics.
Clearly,
yo, listen,
this is not Mike and Mike.
I don't know if... It's a podcast. It's freewheeling. I don't know if you personally asked us to host your listening party. I doubt it. Maybe it was Gabby. Maybe it was Los. Shout out to Rory, by the way.
It was not Rory.
Whoever
it
takes
were big
credit
debates.
For it.
There were big debates about who was to host.
Who?
A lot of fights.
Really?
Who came in second place?
Hmm?
Who came in second place?
Was it Angie? It was a second.
Because Angie jumped in our Instagram comments and saw a picture of the three of us and was like, "Why was I not invited?" Like, clearly.
Oh, why wasn't Angie invited?
Angie is fucking the busiest woman in New York, number one.
And then she added Tip the Stylist and Miss Info and was like, "Yo, can you see this?"
I'm glad I missed that. Me and Angie, we go through that every time I put an album out, like clockwork. I just don't invite. I'm not good at inviting people to shit.
No, but clearly we've never been invited to Monopoly Night.
You're a good bowler.
I'm okay.
Who's better than you?
A lot of people are better than me. I'm just okay.
List them all.
I don't know. I'm not certain that we have
Angela
the time
Yee.
To list them all.
Is she a better bowler than you?
I don't know that she can bowl.
She had a bowling night.
Which means what?
Bottles and strikes every Monday night with Mike Kaiser.
I used to have a lot of fun at Angie and Mike's bowling thing.
Actually, Stephen A. Smith would come through to
They used to have a bunch of hoes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And did they respect you because your bowling game?
No. People never went there to actually bowl. I was the only dickhead to walk in with his own balls and his own gloves.
Yeah, I remember that.
A glove, yeah.
All right, simmer down, everyone.
It was like Big Lebowski. Like, yeah. You were there like...
You were like Jesus.
Joe Button, yeah.
Exactly.
Nobody fucks with the buttons.
But I did meet a few good people from there, and then they stopped doing that. You know what? I need to call both of them and tell them to start that again. I don't know why they stopped, because they stopped, and then they started... Somebody else started this fucking Ciroc Bowl. I don't know if that's Nick Storm or whoever, but it's not as good as...
That's going to be the pull quote from this.
People are
going to be like, "Oh shit, Joe Budden going at some guy's bowling night."
Joe Budden said, "Diddy's a fag." Yeah, like people always change.
You did say that.
No, I didn't.
Do you?
I'm going to use that for Vine.
You guys are dicks. Why do you have a Vine?
You have a D Wade bowling story?
No, Rory has a story. I don't have a D Wade bowling story
I'm
at all.
Give Rory my microphone.
I know. Hold on.
This could be a you had to be there story, but we're going to go through it anyways and resent me if it becomes that way. Joe had went to a spades tournament by Dwayne Wade the night before during All-Star Weekend.
In New York?
It was a very serious spades tournament, so he's thinking that Dwayne Wade throws serious events.
Sure.
So we leave his house. He comes downstairs with a duffel bag on wheels with two bowling balls in it with his name customly carved into it.
Three bowling balls. And bowling shoes.
He has on.
And a glove. And
he
powder.
He has his wrist guard on.
Yo, for the drive over?
Yeah. So we park in Times Square. The
story's a little embellished, but we'll roll with it. Makes a better story.
Yeah. We park in Times Square. Joe is now crossing Times Square with his duffel bag.
In the snow.
Yeah, mind you, it was snowing.
It's snowing, by the way.
We walk into the lobby. We were greeted by T-Pain.
Wow.
Which was weird. And he said, "I was looking up there." And T-Pain goes, "Nah, it's right." So we go up there, walk in. It's probably about 25 7-year-olds bowling. And Joe's there with a wrist guard and a duffel bag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yo, did they have the bumpers up?
True story. Yeah, they did.
Yeah, they did. I was like, what the So I wait, what's funnier than that is they gave us a hard time at the door because we weren't on a list. So now I'm fighting to get in this party full of 7-year olds. So we finally get up in that bitch and I look around and I turn around to Roy and say, yeah, we out of here. And Roy's like, well, not before I get some of this free food that they have. So Roy made a plate. I had to wait for him to eat, so I'm just standing there with my fucking jacket on and shit waiting to leave. Roy's a dick.
Wow.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
You have some of that birthday cake, though?
No. No, I was ready to go. So we left there, and then just...
Where do you go afterwards? What makes you feel... You go to Lust afterwards?
We went to some, I want to say, a Nike thingamajig at some hotel, because we did walk to a hotel.
You walked from there?
Yeah, it went...
With the bowling balls?
No. I put the bowling balls in my car.
With the Monopoly board.
Then we walked to some, yeah, basically. And then we walked to some Nike thingamajig that they were doing at some hotel. And then we left there. Oh, yeah, and then we left there and went to Griffin. And I was miserable because I hate clubs. And Rory's getting drunk, so he doesn't care. Rory's great anywhere that there's alcohol. He's like,
when you showed up at the Griffin, did they make you check
your
coat?
Did you just say the Griffin?
The Griffin.
It's just Griffin.
Okay, sorry.
Then why does it say the outside?
For people like you guys who will say it. But when I showed up to Griffin, what?
Do they ask you for your coat? They make you check your coat. Does Joe Budden ever have to check his coat?
No.
You see?
No.
Joe's made it to a point in life where he doesn't have to when he goes to the Griffin, when he goes to Griffin, when he goes anywhere he wants.
Some people still respect Pump It Up. I don't have to check my coat everywhere that I go.
Does anyone ever play that when you walk into a club?
Sometimes.
Yes.
Sometimes. I mean, some DJs do it like as a sign of respect.
No, of course. Sure, sure. That's what I mean, though.
They don't know that I... Like, you don't have to respect me. I'm totally
right, you
good
rather
on that.
Hear Focus.
I don't, you know, I don't ever want to hear Joe Budden in a club. I just don't.
Not even the Tang
song? Same
with
me.
That's pretty funny. Yeah, I don't want to hear that shit. Fucking, you know, here's a funny story. One time we're at my favorite hookah spot, right?
Yep.
And
which one?
I'm not telling.
Talk on it.
So I'm there with like it's me, a few of the fellas, a bunch of bitches, and
you guys take a bus there, like private bus, charter bus?
No, fucking people drive. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm kicking you. So I get this brilliant idea in my head that I want to hear a fucking Cisco's Thong Song, right?
Brilliant idea, sure.
Some of us actually remember and respect what Cisco's Thong Song does to women of age. You, people that say the Griffin, probably do
no,
not.
That's what the kids say.
So anyway, so I run to the fucking DJ booth, and I tap him like, yo. And then I call him over, and I whisper in his ear, yo. I need to make a request. I need to hear Cisco's Thong Song. And he says, yo, Joe, I got you, my G. And then I walk away. But it's like the whole club watched me because I was so determined to walk over there. So the whole club saw me walk there and walk away. And as soon as I walk away, he plays Marcus Houston clubbing. So now it looks like I went to the booth to request Marcus Houston clubbing. And yeah, featuring me. Yep. And I'm like, what a fucking idiot. I felt like such a douche.
Yo, can we shout out that DJ? Who was that?
Yeah, I hope he got fired, whoever that was.
Wow. Did that DJ hate you?
No. Again, he thought he was like showing me some respect. He was in the middle of like an old school set, which is why I thought Thong Song in the first place.
Wow. Did he end up playing Thong Song?
Yeah, but I mean, at that point, I couldn't enjoy it because I looked like the corny nigga that just ran up like, yo, play the song that I'm on. Like, God damn, I'm really not that corny. I'm not as corny as people make me out to be.
Oh, my God.
Yo, as I've made myself out to be sometimes.
I fuck with, even though it's a weird pairing in retrospect, DMX featuring Cisco.
Yeah.
Great song.
I thought
what these
be
bitches
like,
want?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Great song.
I thought that was going to be like a real brave stance that you were about to make.
No,
and then
but
like,
it's an
you're
odd
like,
pairing.
Oh, I like this obvious song that everybody loves. Like, oh, okay.
Yeah, you're not even a real nigga if you've never fucking dated a chick that DMX named in the second verse.
I know, yeah.
Yeah, that's just like a cardinal rule of hip-hop.
Right. What if you dated two?
Realer nigga. Duh.
I feel like you have like a bingo card that's like...
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Do you have any good DMX stories?
None that I would share.
I do. None that I would share.
Okay, how about you tell the story, but don't say who it's about?
No, that's pretty funny. No, I wouldn't do that.
Would you go to the Def Jam Christmas parties?
I went to one.
How was it? Where was it?
Somewhere over there, Houston. Somewhere down there. A big, huge, like, museum.
Yeah. Were you like, this is what real rappers record labels do? Are like? Yeah.
No, by that time, I wanted to get the fuck off Def Jam.
Why did you go to the party?
Yeah.
For the bitches. Yeah. Duh. Why else would somebody go to a Def Jam Christmas party?
You were like, work my record.
And not at all. And they did have a bunch of bitches there. So I went to that one. Oh, man, it was a good days of hip hop. Those were good old days. I don't even think they have parties like that anymore. It's out the budget.
Was that the first museum you'd been to?
No.
Oh my god. No, by the way, as much as you shit on us talking about your or not talking about your new record, we did talk about the Jada feature for a minute up top. We mentioned that.
All Love Lost in stores October 16th.
Be there, go get it.
I gotta call Mike and Mike.
Can we talk about your last record?
Sure. We can talk about anything you guys want. Wait, let me check.
But it is nice.
At the meter time. 1 hour meter, baby.
How did you go about getting that Lil Wayne verse?
I text Lil Wayne.
That's cool. Do you really go by like whoever's in your phone then? Or you've reached out?
No, I thought
like,
the song.
Was Tank in your phone?
No, I didn't have Tank's number.
Right, so you had to go through someone
so
to get
I
that.
So then I had to find Tank's number, and then I reached
out
to him,
money
and he was great.
Get Tank, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like all R&B singers know each other, right? Yeah.
You sent the money to get Tank. No.
You texted Wayne, and he said.
And he said, sure.
That's dope. So how long does it take to get a Wayne verse if you're Joe Budden?
Wait, how long does it take to get a Wayne text back?
Not long at all.
That's cool, too.
Well, in my experience.
Yeah.
He was on tour at the time. Actually, he was on tour with M.
Okay.
At the time.
Did you text Eminem to get in touch with Wayne and then say, okay.
No. Two totally separate
people?
Relationships.
Right.
Conversations. Yeah, so he said he would try to get it done in Australia. That's where they were at the time. But I knew that wasn't going to happen.
Yeah.
That was just like rapper talk. So it took a little while. And then when he came back, you know, he did indeed get it done.
That he did.
Faster than... You know, you would have thought.
Was his invoice crazy?
No.
That's even better.
No, he never invoiced me. At the time, he was like, he said, yo, this is real dope because I'm working on I Am Not a Human, I Am a Martian Part 3. And we could do a trade-off. I'm going to do your verse and then you get on my shit. And in my head, I'm like, well, that's not really a trade-off. you're just the hottest rapper in the world at the moment. And me, not so much. But, I roll with it. Yeah. He just did it, man. He's a real nigga.
How long did it take for you to send your verse?
He never did that project.
Oh, really? Never just sat on
never
it?
Never did
anything?
The project.
Oh, gotcha.
At all.
Let's get back to the Drake thing for a minute.
Well, we're not going to get back to very much because
you got to run to your meter. All right,
you better believe it, baby. Yeah. They wouldn't let me put more than an hour.
Yeah,
Joe needs to get back down there and get his Monopoly board. We get it.
What Drake thing are we getting back to?
No, just the fact that you were, as far as I remember, the first
rapper to support Drake.
100% via Joe Budden TV. I would watch those episodes and I thought it was pretty great.
Yeah.
And I don't think you get enough credit for that. Do you think you do?
No, I mean, right. Unfortunately, I don't do very much for credit. Like him and I was fucking with Drake around comeback season time. And I was like, damn, this kid's from Toronto. Like, and I ended up getting in touch with him and I said, yo, we got to do something together. And he said, yeah, I got to come up there, whatever. So he agreed and he was going to come up here. But then when he came up, he was doing something with Hove. Like, the separation from when we had that conversation and from where his career was headed when it was time to do it, they were two different places. I mean, I understood that.
Yeah.
So I got it. But fucking Drake is pretty funny, man. He's a funny guy.
Yeah.
Like the last time I saw him and we had that conversation, he gave me the fucking industry talk about, yeah, yo, no, yo, I still got that verse. Yo, how about you send me a beat and I'm going to put a hook on it and yo, we get it popping down. And I was like, and everybody in the universe will think I'm stupid for saying this, but I was like, nah, it's not really the same now. I mean, I'm going to send you a beat, yeah, but just know it's not the same now. Like, at the time, it was a novelty type of thing. Like, it was just two great, passionate artists. Now, it's very trendy. Like, you do songs with a lot of people because you're the hottest guy in the game. And I certainly don't want our record to be looked at that way. Like, I don't want to do the smart thing for people to do when they get a Drake versus make it a single. I don't want to do a single.
You want
a
like, deep
I
cut.
Want to do...
No, but you still want a Drake like feature in some way.
Well, I told him that. I told him, I said, listen, I would want to do the records that we do.
Yeah,
right.
Because I think that's still cool.
But again, keep in mind, we had this conversation in a strip club. So,
oh, okay.
So I mean,
we met Drake in a strip club.
We did.
Yeah. Maybe that's his thing. Meeting fellow rappers in strip clubs.
Well, no, strip clubs, that was when I was frequenting strip clubs very often.
Not so much anymore?
No, I don't do that anymore.
Is there a hookah bar that you've not been to?
There's plenty of hookah bars that I haven't been to. I only go to places that I'm familiar with. So when I find a spot, pardon me, that I like, then I enjoy, that's the place that I pretty much am.
Yeah.
So the hookah spot that I do go to that shall remain nameless,
yeah,
mm-hmm, I'm always there. Every other day.
Everything's nameless with you. Your podcast, your hookah bar.
Well, the podcast has a name. The hookah bar has a name. I just will not tell you guys.
Right, because so you're going to name the hookah bar later.
No, because you guys will go tell Nelly. Like, I don't want any issues. Oh, I want to keep my shit kind of low.
All right, so All Love Lost is in stores October 16th.
Oh, what do you know? A plug, finally.
Yeah, yeah.
You can follow Joe Budden on Twitter at Joe Budden.
Yeah.
You can follow Joe Buttons on Instagram at Joe Buttons. You can
not
follow,
at Joe Buttons.
You can follow Joe Buttons on Snapchat at
never.
Yeah. What's the best medium for you right now to holler at girls or to have them holler at you?
I don't want to holler at girls off of Twitter and Instagram or Tinder or Snapchat.
Right. You just have anything. Like your agent go through, don't do it.
No, I don't do that either, man. We got to change the narrative on me. I don't behave this way. I would much rather meet a woman in person.
Don't you think part of the narrative is what TV actually like laid out for you? It's not entirely yeah, our jokes.
No. No. Be clear. I'm well aware that I have helped to add to this narrative along with television and some other things. There was some years that I you know, didn't do myself any justice, but it's like one that won't escape. Like, it just won't. I don't know what I can do to fix it exactly.
A couple more things before you go feed the meter. One is your backyard, your back porch. Is called the what? Jokingly, it's called the club.
No, my my deck. It's Deco.
Deco. Club Deco.
Club Deco. It's the deck.
Do your neighbors ever have a problem with, like...
My neighbors are wilder than me.
So really?
He's much wilder than me.
Do you live on a college campus?
No.
Do you invite them over?
Sometimes.
Do they invite you over?
Yeah.
That's cool.
We're pretty cool.
That's awesome.
We're both in the music business.
We're pretty cool.
Oh, really?
Who are your neighbors?
Nameless.
Mary J. Blige?
My neighbors are nameless. Everything's nameless, guys.
And just for any like original It's the Real fans who loved our sketch videos that we did for 3.5 years, do you have a favorite one between like the one where you came over here with Tahiri and we were like your therapists? The Slaughterhouse one where we
turned you into a boy band?
That
was pretty great.
Favorite.
Yeah, that was my favorite.
That was a classic.
That was really, you guys were super funny. And just real quick, that night was when Charles Hamilton decided to tell Detroit, basically, that he was going to have J. Dilla, who had already passed on, executive produce his album. And so while we're pitching you guys in the studio.
Right. Royce da 5'9" was having like very tense conversations with
Charles Hamilton. Yeah.
And then immediately after that, we had to be like, hey, so we want you guys to throw roses at the camera and blow kisses. And they were totally cool with it.
Because we knew you and Joelle like really well at that point. But like, we're like, how is Royce and how is Crooked Eye going to?
But they were very fun.
It was awesome. That was a really fun shoot.
Yeah, no, Royce is great. And that definitely was my favorite sketch. We did another sketch, the three of us. When is that coming?
I don't know. That's up to you guys.
Yeah. All right, so I'm sure that'll come sometime within the next week.
That's going to be really
funny.
We'll
put out this video later.
Yeah.
wait, real quick. How close was Charles Hamilton? Because he always used to say that he was the fifth member of Slaughterhouse. How close was he to ever being in Slaughterhouse?
Charles Hamilton was never close to being in Slaughterhouse.
Was Bun B?
No, but Bun B is like the OG.
Yeah. He's like, was it, who, if there was a fifth member, who would it be?
Probably be Bun B.
Okay.
or Jeff Rosenthal.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought that went without saying.
I'm Eric.
I'm Jeff.
So y'all about to scare me again? I'm Jeff. I'm Eric. And...
Yo, what up? It's Eric, a.k.a. Bag of Chandler, a.k.a. Catch a Case.
Yo, what up? It's Jeff, a.k.a. Shoot a Boy in Blue, a.k.a. Papa Smurf.
Yeah, these guys are way too lit.
Thanks, Jeff.
Anytime, guys. Love you guys.